Beloved, Christ is in our midst. In a certain way, the gospel today follows up on the one we heard last Sunday about the rich man and Lazarus. Because again, Jesus is telling a parable. And it's a parable of, in this case, two people, in Lazarus and the rich man, and today it's of four people. But people who are in dire straits, and what another does, whether to help or not to help. And last week it was the rich man who didn't enlarge his heart enough to take Lazarus into himself, to see in Lazarus Christ, to see in Lazarus himself. And so at the end of that parable, because they were separated in life by what the rich man did, so were they separated in death. And today it's someone who asks Jesus about what it takes, what one must do to be saved. And in seeing the whole of the parable, the doing is to be godlike. It is to do what God does. That is what it takes for us to be saved. And we do that through God at work in us. That we should never confuse ourselves into thinking that any virtue we do or any good we do comes from us. We have a part to play in it, but ultimately it is God and our cooperating with Him. And the lawyer asking Jesus today about what it takes to be saved. And Jesus says to him about the love of God and love of neighbor. And the lawyer wants to justify himself. What does neighbor mean? He's asking Jesus. Who is my neighbor? And paying close attention to what Jesus says, we find that the person who helps the man left robbed and half dead is not any of his countrymen. No one of his own bloodline, not a fellow Jew. It's a Samaritan. Samaritan and Jews didn't talk to one another. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say they were enemies, but they certainly didn't believe exactly the same things. And we know this when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well, who says, "You Jews say you're to worship in Jerusalem, and we Samaritans say we're to worship on Mount Gerizim." And she even tells Jesus, "What are you, a Jew, doing talking to me, a Samaritan?" His disciples were astonished. And it's the Samaritan in this parable, the one rather like an enemy, and he sees the man, naked, robbed, half dead. And he doesn't see an enemy. He doesn't pass by because he said, "This one's not of my kin. He's not of my blood. He's not of my religion. I'm not going to touch him." Where the other two Jews kept going, it's the Samaritan. The least likely that the lawyer would expect, who is the one who shows compassion on the man, pouring in oil and wine on his wounds, hoisting him on his beast, taking him to an inn, and leaving of his own money to care for him. And not only his own money, but if you need more, he tells the innkeeper, "I'll pay you on the way back." He goes to that great extent to help this man, because he has compassion on him, because he sees past the divisions that we make of ourselves, whether it's by race, by creed, or color, or anything else, where we make divisions among ourselves. This Samaritan sees past all of it and sees a fallen human being in need of help, of mercy, and he shows mercy. He shows love to this man. And a deeper understanding of this gospel, besides this surface understanding of who is my neighbor, and note how Jesus puts it a little differently to the man. He says, who was neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he says, the man who had compassion on him. But the deeper understanding of this gospel, beloved, is that that man fallen among the robbers is us, the human race, fallen prey to sin, the devil shooting arrows at us, and us, naked, wounded, in need of help. And who is it who not only will help us, but will save us? The Good Samaritan is Christ, Jesus. He himself comes to us. And he comes because, as he says in the parable of the Samaritan, who sees past divisions, God, when he looks at us, he looks past our sinfulness. He looks past the soot in our souls, the things we do that disfigure his likeness in us. And God sees right through to his image. Christ sees in us himself. He sees his own icon because he is the one who created us from the beginning. As we read in the scriptures, according to his own image, Christ Jesus fashioned us in his image. So he sees us, yes, sinful, but sees through to his image in us. So he comes down to us. And in icons of this parable, where Jesus says, the Samaritan took that wounded man and put him on his own beast of burden, probably a donkey. In the icons, it shows Christ putting us, humanity, on himself, on his own back. So far does he empty himself that even to become a beast of burden, to raise us up, this is his love. Because again, Christ sees. He sees through to us, to the image of himself in us. And he brings us on himself to the inn, which is the church, and the oil and the wine, which are the sacraments of the church, where he comes to us. We come to him, and he comes to us and gives himself to us so that we can be healed of our sins, of our passions, of all those things that drag us down away from him. And in understanding this deeper meaning of the parable, we see that the whole of our spiritual life is this: to see the world as Christ sees the world. Because sin is one thing, the human being another. And Christ always sees in us his image, his own face. And if we are to see the world in Christ's eyes, then we too must look to see one another past any division, anything that separates, see his image in one another, and yes, in ourselves. For if we do not understand that we are in Christ's image, how can we possibly understand and see him in one another? That we can see past the sin, the passions, and see Christ, see him. Even though we are made of dust, yet we bear divine resemblance. This is to be God, beloved, to see the world in Christ's eyes. There's even an image, an icon, a fresco in a monastery that shows the 7 days of creation. And it shows Christ Jesus in his human form, creating everything according to Genesis, day one, day two, day three. And the day when he creates humanity, the face on the man is Christ. It's Christ. Because he fashions us in his image. He sees in us something so precious, even though we are dust of the earth. So precious he sees us that he dies for us. He lowers himself, lower than we can imagine and understand. May he grant us his eyes so that we are filled with him, to see the world as he made it, to see one another, his image, in every face we look at, and even the face we look at in the mirror.